Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why'd you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde îmi plec acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, am adus aici că țara asta va arde.
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
De ce m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
De ce-ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
But what will you do with me, I
said? Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitru Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right. Welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Moment of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And if you don't like to see or hear me angry, feel free to turn off your listening device, whatever that might be, because tonight is likely to be a protracted rant. For various reasons. Now, I'm more heartbroken than I am angry, but you should see my level of anger to understand exactly what's going through my mind and my heart right now, because we are living in a time wherein legislation is being enacted that allows people to murder babies up until the day of, including the day of delivery. Let that sink in. For those of you that wrote in, that sent me emails, that poked at me on Facebook, whatever that is, and insisted that, hey, it's not so bad, there have been worse, I think you're a little judgmental. Read on the new law that New York just passed, that Governor Cuomo signed, and that dozens and dozens of people applauded and cheered. That's the thing that turned my stomach more than anything. The fact that dozens and dozens of people cheered the legalization of infanticide, because that's what it is. It's murder. There is no other way to say it. There is no other way to put it. It's murder. They legalized the murder of babies. We're not talking about a cell anymore. We're not talking debates about when a heartbeat starts anymore. If your due date is tomorrow, and tomorrow you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or you just want to punish your husband, or whatever it is, in the state of New York, it is now perfectly legal to walk into a place where they will give your baby a lethal injection. It will expire and die, and it will be vacuumed out of you. This is what the world has come to. You're talking to me about barbarism? You're saying that we're all so progressive and we've learned so much from history that we're never going to repeat the mistakes of those that came before us? Are you living under a rock? If this sort of thing is cheered, I guarantee you they would likewise cheer Christians being fed to lions. Same sort of people would. I guarantee you can't. How can you cheer for something like this? How can you not roil at the idea of it? How can you not just double over and vomit everything that's in your belly? When you hear that it is now legal to murder babies up until and including delivery date. There you go. So let's not quibble over whether judgment is coming or not. Let's try to sort of pin down the when of it. Because judgment is coming, and by God, we deserve it. Every ounce of his wrath, every single drop of the cup, we deserve it. It is deserved. Every Joel Osteen prototype out there who keeps insisting that God would never judge us because he loves us so much. The only thing that will be left of those people is their skinny jeans and horn-rimmed glasses. Understand that what is coming is beyond your imagination, and the only thing that will carry you through it is the grace of God, period. Because, man, we've exceeded what Sodom and Gomorrah did. Let that sink in. God utterly decimated it with fire and brimstone, both Sodom and Gomorrah, and we have far exceeded their sins. And the next time I hear a Christian tell me that the sin of Sodom of Gomorrah was inhospitality, that they weren't welcoming to strangers, I'm going to have to bite my lip to the point of bleeding so I don't do something unchristian. We have exceeded by far the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we will be held to account in greater measure than was Sodom and Gomorrah for the simple reason that we ought to have known better. Sodom and Gomorrah did not have the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah did not have sonograms where you could go and listen to a baby's heartbeat at 16 weeks. Maybe even before that. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have the research to demonstrate unequivocally that a child is viable. It will live 70% of the time outside the womb at as little as, 24 weeks, 23 weeks, and 90% of the time at 27 weeks. And the state of New York, in all its demonic wisdom, has made it so anybody can walk into an abortion clinic in labor and say, kill it. Kill it. I don't want it. Kill it. And nobody bats an eye. For those of you that were clutching your pearls because Donald Trump said a naughty word, and you're saying absolutely nothing about this atrocity, shame on you. Nothing but a sanctimonious, self-righteous do-nothing. For those of you that were all a flutter that Donald Trump is not chiseled enough, and so we could never vote for such a villainous man, and you're sitting on your hands watching this take place, saying nothing. I have no respect for you. I'm angry, and rightly so. And you should be angry, and rightly so. Whatever happened to the righteous indignation of the righteous when they see abomination taking place before them?
Well, no, brother, we have to pick our battles.
If this isn't a battle worth picking, if this isn't a battle worth fighting, if this isn't something worth making your voice heard over, then nothing is. That's just the simple truth. If you can swallow this atrocity whole and not bat an eye, then there's something wrong with you, man. Your spiritual filter is off kilter. And I'm saying this with all the Christian love that I can muster right now. If this isn't making you upchuck, then what will? So, it's just astounding what's happening while the church sleeps. Just listen to me. I'm going to try to control my emotions and my voice. Children, up until the 9th month of pregnancy, can be given lethal injections and poisoned to death. And if you want something to make your skin crawl and keep you awake at night, find the video of the ghouls who were smiling behind the devil's handmen as he was signing this into law. Ghoul is kind. I don't know what word to use to describe these people. They're celebrating the murder of innocents up until the 9 months. And there's a pro-life person that wrote an op-ed that said New York's law is barbaric and inhumane. No kidding. And it rejects modern science and medical advancements that reveal the development and humanity of life in the womb. They don't care. They know what they're doing. Understand. They know exactly what they're doing. God has blessed my wife and I with 2 daughters. And I was there every step of the way from the day they started to kick. You can't doubt that there is life there once you put your hand on a woman's belly and you feel the kick of the baby. You can't deny the spark of the divine, the spark of intelligence, when they hear your voice in the womb and they react. They know. They don't care. They are possessed of the devil, given over, conscience-seared, done and done. But there should be a counterbalance to this, and that should be the church. There should be a counterbalance to this, and that should be the people of God standing up and saying, this is abomination, this is atrocious. We are calling down the wrath of God unfiltered, unreined, complete, total annihilation like Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what we're calling down. Because though he might be merciful and though he might be gracious, there's only enough that God will take. There's only so much. And I think we've exceeded what he's willing to accept. Understand what is happening here. With the stroke of a pen, an infidel, an evil human being made it legal for other infidels and wretched souls to murder their children up until the ninth month. And the ghouls celebrated. The ghouls applauded. The ghouls cheered. They were orgasmic in their celebration of infanticide. So I don't care about a partial government shutdown, to be perfectly honest. There's bigger fish to fry tonight. If this doesn't make your blood boil, nothing will. And sadly, I have a prediction. The church will say nothing. The church will do nothing. The church will look the other way. The church will roll their eyes and whistle in the wind. Because we have become cowards. Somewhere along the way, we've lost our spine. Somewhere along the way, we've come to believe that being strong and steadfast are evil, are bad, are negatives. People won't react well if you stand firm. I don't care how people will react. If I'm standing for the truth, I could care less about how someone will react to it, as long as it's the truth. The truth is this: New York has legalized infanticide. And there is no outcry. There is no outrage from those that should be outraged. From those that should stand on the battlements firm with faces like lions and ready to take on the darkness. Sorry to break the news, kids, but the devil's winning. I'm going to put that out there, and I know I'm going to get flack for it, but look at the situation as it stands. Somehow, the enemy has managed to infiltrate the church to the point that the church believes we ought to be all limp-wristed, feminized, go-along-to-get-along sort of morons that say nothing in defense of righteousness, that say nothing in defense of truth. All prototypes of Rob Bell. That's what the world loves. If you want the world to love you, be a Rob Bell prototype. And you look throughout the history of the church, and you look throughout the history of the Bible, And I often find myself thinking, I don't know how well the horn-rimmed glasses and the skinny jeans would have fared standing shoulder to shoulder with guys like David or his warriors or John the Baptist and his furry coat. We are become cowards. And somehow we continue to justify our cowardice, not realizing that when Jesus spoke the parable of the talent, what he meant by talent wasn't the fact that you can tinkle the keys of a piano or fiddle on a banjo or hold a tune. What did you do with what he gave you? Did you squander it and let evil people take it? Or did you protect it and defend it and grow it? I'm not talking, the Bible's not talking about some talent that you have. What's your talent? I love to braid hair. And I play the flute. That's not what it means. What God has invested in you, you must defend and protect. Not bury and pretend as though it doesn't exist. You must grow it. What do you expect us to do? Anything. Do something. Do something. Anything. At this point, I'll take anything except sitting on our thumbs and judging those that would do something. Anything. Do anything. Unless you're too busy clutching your pearls and rolling your eyes. That's just not civilized. War is not civilized. You seem to forget. We are at war. If you expect civility from the devil, you've got another thing coming. But again, it took a long time for the enemy to succeed here, but he did. We've been told by preacher after preacher, heaven's a-coming. Jesus is coming in the clouds. Once saved, you're always safe. Sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. Here comes Jesus and his chariot. But aren't we supposed to do anything? No, that'd be works. No works. Salvation through work. Just that's it. Receive and just go back to sleep. Did you receive? I received. Hallelujah. Go back to sleep. But aren't we supposed to occupy until he comes? Oh, that was just for the apostles. And look what happened to them. We don't want to get involved. We got more important things to do. You know, we need to break ground on the new church building. I don't know, maybe talk about a retirement fund for the pastor and the elders. We have important things to do. That whole occupying thing takes a lot of time, you know. Plus, it never turns out well. And here we are. Here we are. Infanticide legalized in the state of New York, and not a peep. On the contrary, you have, let's call them liturgical heavyweights from the Catholic Church, bishops and priests and whatnot, you know, the guys that are now embroiled in the biggest pedophilia scandal in the history of pedophilia scandals. Well, they saw fit to take a break from defending their proclivities and their sins and their crimes to make a statement against the March for Life and saying it was useless and pointless and it just causes division and we don't want division. Now we know what side they're on. So,
It's time to take a head count, kids. It is. It's time to take a head count and determine three things. Who's on our side? Who's on their side? And who's on their side pretending to be on our side? And the first thing we must do once we've determined this is do away with those who are on their side pretending to be on our side. It's going to be scary when we realize just how many people are pretending to be something that they're not. How many people know how to talk the talk, but when it comes to walking the walk, well, that's just too difficult. You see it in politics every day. One name that springs to mind, Senor Romney, the man who is the senator from the great state of Utah. I don't know how the Utahans didn't see this one coming. But, yep, as far as preachers are concerned, well, you should know. You should know which ones are truly on the side of righteousness and which ones are simply pretending to be on the side of righteousness while doing the devil's bidding. Yes, I said the devil's bidding. You know what? I'm done mincing words. I'm done trying to coddle people and not hurt their feelings. Because, to be perfectly honest and candid with you, your feelings don't matter. Neither do mine. Truth matters. That's all that matters. And right now, the church has an aversion to truth the likes the world has never seen. And it's not the subjective truth that we keep hearing about. Well, you know, you have your truth, and I have my truth, and then we'll see whose truth ends up being the truth. No, there's nothing like that here. 9 months. 9 months. 40 weeks. 9 months. Fully formed baby. 100% guaranteed to be viable to live outside the womb. The murder of which has been legalized in the state of New York. Don't give me semantics or try to split hairs. 9 months. Where is the outcry? I'm going to keep beating this horse. Yes, this horse deserves to be beaten. This drum deserves to be beaten, apparently, because, you know, if you haven't heard the story, yes, a man pretending to be a Vietnam veteran likes beating drums. Apparently, he's made a career out of it. And some Catholic kids who went to the March for Life and wore some MAGA hats had their entire lives turned upside down because an old toothless man who is a professional agitator decided to go and beat a drum in their faces. And because the kids didn't flinch and because one of them apparently just out of nervousness smiled, they've been getting death threats. This is the world we live in. High school kids getting death threats for smiling because an old man with nothing better to do decided that this was the moment he was going to shine and went and started beating a drum in their faces. Do you realize the downhill slope that we're headed on and how quickly we're going to enter freefall? If nothing changes, and I'm assuming nothing will, because those who are in a position to do something about it are too cowardly to do so, and the church itself is in the same boat rowing up the same river. No, I don't believe anything is going to happen. I think it's going to go from bad to worse. And I think if and when these people do get power, these sycophantic, just buffoons that we look at today and go, nobody's going to fall for this.
apparently enough people are. You see, and right now, the thing that you should be looking at to understand that there's momentum behind these moronic ideas that some of these people are putting forth is that the Davos crowd, the rich and wealthy, those that are above the law, are starting to get concerned. They're starting to worry because this is the monster that they created. And right now, their monster's off the leash. And it's coming for their wealth. There's people talking about 70% income tax. They're saying that it is immoral for someone to be a billionaire. You know what? I shouldn't care. I'm not even a hundredaire. I should not care about the rich and the wealthy. But I know the underpinning philosophy of what this means. I lived it the first 9 years of my life. I know what it will lead to. And this is why I'm against it. Not because I have great love for billionaires. And this is what they're counting on. That most people will look at someone who's amassed billions of dollars. And this other person who's saying we should tax them 70%. And they shrug their shoulders and go, that doesn't affect me. Tax them. Make it 90%. But see, as has been the case throughout history, eventually you run out of rich people to eat. And the word rich gets redefined over and over and over again. And it starts to dip from billionaire to millionaire to 100,000-aire to... why do you have a house when so-and-so doesn't? Get out. If you don't believe me, this is exactly what happened in my native land of Romania. This is exactly what happened in Russia. This is exactly what happened in every country that has tried the failed experiment of communism. They came to the people who worked hard all their lives, who had a home, and said, You're a baron. You're rich. You get out. We're going to give your home to the indigent, to the poor. They need to feel rich too. And guess what the indigent and the poor did to the nice homes that they were given? Turned them into the hovels that they were used to. Because they didn't work for it. They didn't care about it. I've gone through some of these like beautiful homes, 1800s, 1920s in Romania, just gorgeous homes on the outside. And you go inside and you could see that there was absolutely no respect for anyone's labor, just holes in the wall and all the floors are just torn up. Anything and everything that could have been stolen got stolen. Because you're never going to respect it if you didn't have to work for it. If it was just given to you by the state, then you're going to abuse it. And so this is why I'm sounding the alarm on these things, not because I have any love for billionaires, but because the word rich is going to get redefined to the point where there's national misery aplenty. And when you look at it in an objective manner, it was horrible for 20-some-odd million Romanians, who were all Romanian, to live under such things. But when you take a nation of 330-some-odd million from all over the world, and you impose this kind of lunacy, it can only end in one fashion. It can only end one way. And that is much bloodletting. So here we are. 2019. We look back on the Dark Ages. We look back on the barbarians. We look back on those we deemed inferior of intellect to us for so long. And we judged them, not realizing that they might not have known any better, but they weren't evil of heart, at least for the large part. But what has taken place in New York is pure evil. Understand it. Please understand this. It is pure, unadulterated evil. The devil couldn't have come up with a better legislation. And nobody's saying a thing. Look, the war isn't one-sided. They're coming at us from all sides. Whether it's the notion of masculinity, and there's nothing wrong with masculinity. Look, this is the upside-down world that we're living in. You have men pretending to be women, looking more feminine than real women. And you have real women looking more masculine than men, because we're told that masculinity is somehow vile and evil. And underneath it all is this constant attempt to upturn and undo everything that God established. It's demonic, is what it is. It's the devil's way of trying to poke God in the eye, to distort, to upturn established order, and then watch as chaos unfurls. Look, you have people that on the surface seem normal, rational, intelligent, saying that they're not going to call their kids a name or give them a specific gender until they decided for themselves. Not long ago, listening to something like that would have made Children's Protective Services go and take those kids away. The woman's a lunatic. This is an actress, by the way. Yeah, I'm not going to give my child a gender. I'm not going to give them a name. I'm going to call it It. It, would you like some breakfast? It, would you like some lunch? Until it decides what it wants to be gender-wise, and then perhaps it can name itself. This is the madness that we've descended into as a civilization. And I remember doing this program 3-4 years ago, and wondering where it could go from where it was. How could it get much worse? And here we are. And you know what? I'm not even going to ask the question anymore, because I'm sure they'll figure something out. Look, the next great battle is going to be pedophilia. I warned you about this. They're pushing it. You have 9-year-old and 10-year-old and 12-year-old supposed drag queens doing photo shoots with naked transsexuals. And this is being celebrated as some sort of genius art. Do you not see where we're headed? Are you not at all concerned? Will you not put the cowardice aside and say something? Because I, for one, have to believe that a large majority of people see these things for the repulsive, vile actions that they are. Because if I didn't believe that, I said this on a radio program, on an interview I did last week. If I didn't believe that most people innately, naturally, saw abortion at 9 months as evil, if I didn't believe that a majority innately saw a 9-year-old child taking pictures with a naked drag queen as disgusting and vile, if I didn't believe that there is a silent majority out there, I'd find the smallest island that I could row to and take my family there. I have to believe that there's a silent majority that's not saying anything for fear of repercussions. And you know what? The masters of the universe, for lack of a better term, are doing their best not to outright threaten those that would come against the new progress, but to imply consequences. It's villainous is what it is. It's villainy on its face. You have a handful of people in charge of all the platforms implying that if we don't agree with what you report as news, well, we're just going to do away with it. If we don't agree with what you say regarding this or that, we're just going to ban you. And if you think they're going to stop here, you're fooling yourself. Because the end goal is what it has always been. The end goal is always to do away with Christians and Christianity. Don't fool yourself for an instant.
Oh, it's not about Christians. It's about tolerance and inclusiveness. It's about not being judgmental.
Really? So basically, you either compromise truth and don't call abomination what it is to keep your platform, or you speak the truth and you're labeled intolerant, bigot, transphobe, homophobe, blah, 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 blah. And all the troll mafia comes after you and sullies your name and tries to keep you from earning a living and deplatforms you and all the other good stuff. I get it. I get it. Yep, you're right. It's about tolerance. So all you churches waving rainbow flags, yee-haw, good times, go forth. But see, no matter how you justify it in the present, the bill will always come due. For every man will stand before an all-knowing God. And every man will be weighed. And every man will be judged. Not by judges who are practicing judicial activism. Not by judges who have been compromised or bought and paid for. But by the judge who cannot be bought. The judge who will not compromise his standard, the judge who will not hear a defense or prosecution, but who will simply pass sentence. Because the judge already has all the facts of the case. The judge knows. And it's not just actions that the judge will judge. It's even those sins of omission where we heard that infanticide was legalized and we pretended as though it didn't concern us. God have mercy. God have mercy. I don't know how we're going to fare. I'm not one of those people who takes everything superficially. I have the sort of mind that dwells on certain things and gets deeper beyond the surface. And I've thought about this off and on for the longest time. I don't know how the modern-day church is going to fare on Judgment Day. I think that this idea of an explosion of converts, all saved and newly minted, ready to go to heaven, is an illusion. I think we're looking for the last great revival when we're seeing the great falling away. Something's not clicking, kids. Because I hear all the boisterous optimism. Oh, revival's coming. A new one, better than the last one. And yet, crickets. Crickets, crickets, crickets is what we're hearing. Azusa Street, Redux, crickets. Never mind that there's no revival. I'm wondering if there's still a pulse. Because if this doesn't mobilize the church, if this doesn't animate the church, if seeing infanticide legalized doesn't make the church drop whatever it's doing and as one make its voice heard, then I'm wondering if there's still a pulse. Are we already dead? And what we're seeing is just life support machines pumping air into dead lungs. Machines. No life. Machines. Because if life were present, we'd be doing something. And nobody has the courage to turn off the machine. Because in their heart of hearts, they know what the outcome will be if they turn off the machine. We have the illusion of life. And once you turn off the machine, it shatters that illusion. You realize it's a dead thing. Kept alive. By unnatural means. That's what much of the church has become. A dying thing on life support. Useless. Useless. Bedridden, with tubes coming out of its mouth and a machine pumping air into its lungs. Because we need the institution. Even if we're all hypocrites, we need the institution. No, we don't. We don't need the institution. We don't need to keep a dead thing alive artificially. Let it die. Let it die. Because if we still cling to this notion of the institution and keeping it alive for whatever reason, then we're never going to get into our prayer closets and start to weep and pray and do what we ought to do as individuals and not collectively. I don't care that Pat Robertson's running out of money. Let it die. I don't care that Benny Hinn can't fill a stadium anymore. Let it die. I don't care that Joel Osteen can't buy another private jet. Let it die. If it's artificially kept alive, let it die. Because perhaps at that point, at that juncture, we will have that eureka moment, that light bulb. Perhaps a memory is reawakened of what it was to be alive. Of what it was to be on fire. Of what it was to have a purpose in the kingdom of God. Of what it was to feel those butterflies in your stomach when you knew, man, you knew that the hosts of hell were going to come against you, but you still stood for the truth. You remember that feeling? How long has it been? How long has it been since you felt that? Where you knew, man, you knew that because you were willing to stand, you were going to get it from all sides. How long has it been since you chose bravery over cowardice? How long has it been since you chose saying something over keeping silent? How long has it been since you knew that you were alive and didn't just hope that you were alive? How long has it been? See, with every passing day, there are those without a voice. Whose flame is extinguished even before they see their first sunrise. While we weigh our options, while we look at the most strategic way to say something or tweet something without really getting involved or letting people know who we are because there might be blowback or retribution. Every day we do nothing. Innocent blood is shed. Every day we say nothing. The devil gets a better foothold. So this is where we are. And I'm heartbroken. This is where we are. And I'm disgusted by the world that I'm leaving behind for my daughters. This is where we are. And I cannot fathom any outcome that doesn't end with the judgment of God upon this nation. And deservedly so. This is where we are. And the church should be weeping. So, this was the program for tonight. I know it wasn't upbeat. I realize there wasn't much joviality to it. But truly, be honest. Is there anything to be jovial about at this juncture? So, I recommend you dust off the closet and you dust off your Bible and you get rooted in the Word again. You dust off the armor and you put it on and do something. God bless you. Gino, if you're there, it's all yours.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Just a incredibly eye-opening program. I would suggest a couple things tonight. I'm going to give a phone number out. The Archdiocese of New York's office number, 646-689-2613. It's called the Respect for Life Office. Please try to call in, and I would demand that they take action against Cuomo. And he claims to be a Catholic, whatever that means to him. But should he be excommunicated? Well, I would urge them to picket his office, picket the legislature people that allowed this law. But give them a call. Let them know you're upset about this evil Hitler, you know, what I would call a Hitlerian type of law. There is no doubt, as Mike said, if we don't wake up, how big is the loss going to be? You will not recognize America in a short time when all these foundations are ruined and the church was silent. The sin of silence, what's killing us. And as Mike said, we better do something about this absolute Holocaust. Nothing less than a Holocaust. And I'll put the show up tomorrow on YouTube. Do not do nothing. Get your church involved. Get some knowledge of people that you can get a hold of. And there should be not only an outcry, there should be an absolute movement of church people to demand sanctity of life. And as Mike said, where's it going from here? Pedophilia? You can bet that not only are they going to criminalize and make it a hate crime eventually to stand up for life, but if the church doesn't stand up now, when will they get a chance to stand up? We are losing ground, and we need to stand up now. So with that, with the YouTube video tomorrow, I will post the address of Cuomo's office. And I would urge people to get a hold of other church people and picket that guy's office until he cannot rest for what he signed into law. As Mike said, they're worse than barbarians. To stand behind this guy and consider they did something good for the country. More these kids that... or the preborn, rather, deserve us to wake up and defend what God absolutely calls sacred human life, especially life that has not had a chance to breathe the first breath. The church surely better protect that.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.